Blog Talk Radio.
LiveDeliverance.com here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So if you would, go ahead and get some paper and a pen or pencil so you can take down some notes. And at the end of the ministry tonight, we'll take time for any questions or comments that you might have concerning the ministry tonight. This is one way we can all grow, because the Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So we want to include you in the process tonight. So go ahead and let's prepare to get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me, and I'll decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives and cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Beloved, this is part two of praise, the transfer of grace. Now, we know that praise is a weapon in the spirit realm. The Bible lists multiple occasions where praise and praise alone invoked the presence of God to bring victory in the lives of God's people. Praise is a weapon, but it's not a secret weapon. I say that because we might not know the effect of his presence on any given situation, but we are assured that he will show up on our behalf. If you would just look at Psalms 8, and it gives us some insight here again. And I would recommend that you write down the scriptures so that you can go back to them and review them and make them yours, make them personal. Because God is interested in giving you the victory, not because I said so, but because this was his plan. His plan, he said, he knows those thoughts that he thinks toward us. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil to give us an expected end. Jeremiah chapter 29:11. See, so when we go back and meditate in the word day and night, that's what he told us in Joshua, then he says we will observe how to do it. God wrote things in mysteries. The reason why is not to make it hard for you, but to make it hard for your enemy. Because you have a guide, the Holy Spirit, that will bring to your remembrance what Jesus has said. He's going to guide you into the truth. He's going to teach you all things. See? He's going to lead you into the truth. Not unto the truth, but into it. You know, some people might come to your door, but they can't get in your house till you let them in. Well, the Holy Ghost is the one that's going to make sure we get in, gain access into the Word of God so that we can utilize it, so that we can put it in a place where it's protected in our lives. He said, if you guard your heart with all diligence, for out of that heart that's guarded comes the issues of life. See? So he wants you to put it in there. He wants you to search for it. See? Because when you find it, it's health to your flesh. It's Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 26. See? He says that when you find that word, it's health to all your flesh. Glory to God. I would believe that most of the challenges that we have are flesh-based, because your spirit is created after his image, which would be perfect, wouldn't it? Amen. So most of the challenges that we have are going to be challenges in the flesh, from the flesh, because of the flesh. See? Because our flesh finds no rest in the promises of God. Our spirit finds a rest in the promises of God. Okay? And our spirit concurs willfully after the spirit. Okay? I'm trying to let you hear and equip you with the things he's already given you. I'm just pulling back the veil, if you would, that was over your eyes and where the enemy has blinded you. See? And then because the enemy has blinded you, it becomes more difficult for you to enter into a belief structure that will support you. Because as a blind person, your confidence is not as high as it would be if you know where you're standing. If you don't know where you're standing because you can't see, because you can't gain reference from the things around you, see, but God, phew, Lord, you're so good. God is trying to get us to grow up so that we will live by the Holy Spirit on the inside, not by the circumstances on the outside. Circumstances means things circled around us, standing against us. See? So God is wanting you to learn how to live from the inside out. Again, he said that in Matthew chapter 6 when he was talking about consider the birds, the ravens. He said, consider the flowers. They are all supplied from the inside out. Circumstances might shine on them, but the supply is on the inside. Come on, y'all. Amen. The glory of the flower comes from the flower, not because of the things around the flower. You can see the flower of a weed, and it can look good because the glory of the weed came from the inside of the weed. See? And sometimes we feel like we've been planted in the wrong place, and we feel like a weed, but the glory that's in the weed is what we're supposed to be looking for. It comes out of. or up on. See? The glory of God comes up on you. It comes up from the inside and then on. Come on, I don't preach myself. I have it right there. The anointing comes up on you. See? So then that which comes up from the inside and then spills over on you is more than enough to handle the circumstances that are coming against you. See, we just don't know how God set this up. So we give in to a lie that the devil speaks. And Jesus said, every time he speaks, he's lying. When he speaks, he speaks of his own. He's always lying. I'm not even thinking that he has a modicum of truth. When he speaks, period, it is a lie. Okay, just so that you can kind of grasp that. As soon as you, if ever you do, hear the devil, he is lying. Because when he speaks of his own. Okay? So he's not giving you half truth so you can stand on it. No, when he speaks, Jesus said. Okay? At the time his mouth is moving, lies are being released. So when he tells you you can't do something, it was a lie. It might be that you are unsure of how to do it, but to say you can't do it, it's a lie, because Christ lives on the inside of you, and you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. See, so that scripture just stated that there is a promise of strength already connected to your salvation. It's automatic. And we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. This is why we go over the scriptures, get you to write them down so that they can be the ones you meditate on, so that they can become personal to you, so that they can be weaved into the very fabric of your being. Because you are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. And he's trying to weave his word into your spirit, the very fabric of your being, so that your soul will then get renewed, because as the weaving process takes place, that which is connected to gets stronger and stronger. See? So then you'll be able to then resist the devil by the word on the inside of you. And when you resist the devil, the Bible promises that he would flee. Okay. Whew. See, the Bible promises you rest. And as you are in that position of trust, rest, adherence to that which is the word of God, then the devil has to flee. He doesn't get any rest. Amen. He's got to get hat, get up out of here. But you have to be the one that has the inner fortitude, is what we call that sometimes. Let's understand, it is the weaving of the word of God, the promises of God, into the very fabric of your being. And your being is, I am a spirit. I'm not weaving things into your flesh. You're not weaving things into your flesh. You are weaving them into your spirit, which then connects them to your soul. So that your very soul will grow up and be able to resist the devil. It says that by reason of use, your very senses will be trained to know the difference between good and evil. Your very senses, that's in your soul realm, isn't it? So he says that once you continue this process over and over and just keep weaving, he says your very senses, your flesh. You know, we thought our flesh is just going to give us trouble till we get on the way to heaven. Well, let me just help you out. If you haven't brought your flesh under subjection, heaven is not your dwelling place. It's not where you're going. because you weren't ruled by your spirit. You were ruled by your flesh. And do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. That does not sound like heaven to me. Okay? Just some things for us to begin to process so that we will know how to do the things that are necessary to counteract all of the things that are circled around us, circumstances. Okay? Things circled around us, standing against us. See, praise is a weapon, but it's not a secret weapon. A secret weapon would be, I guess, okay, we try it this way. A secret weapon would be one that you would use when everything else fails. But you see, as you function in the spirit, as you function by the word of God, that means you would function, you'll be functioning by his word. If you love me, you would keep my commandments. That means I'm functioning by his love. And love never fails. Okay? I am trying to draw you a picture that is so vivid in your consciousness that you'll say, okay, wait a minute, this stuff works every time, all the time. This begins to be that which is on automatic. Because the word will not come back to God void. It will accomplish that which he pleases. It will prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. And he sent it into your spirit. It will accomplish what he wants in your spirit. See? So it's not a secret weapon. It's not the last recourse. This should be your first recourse. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things, whatever you need, whatever you were thinking about, they will be not worked for by you. They will be added unto you. When you seek first, this is your first recourse. I'm going to go to the word. I'm going to put the word in my mouth. See? It's already in my spirit. I'm going to stir it up in my spirit so that it will then come to my mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're the one that will declare and decree a thing, and it will be established unto you. You have the power to call those things that be not as though they were. They're already in your spirit. You stir them up. The Holy Ghost stirs up the word of God by bringing things to your remembrance what Jesus has said. And as you do this over and over and over, he said that you will meditate day and night. You will make your way prosperous. You will find good success. Excuse me, here it says you will make your way prosperous. You will find good success. Didn't say your pastor would find it. Didn't say Brother Steve would bring it. No. It said you would find it if you would meditate therein day and night. For then you shall. God is putting the power back in your hand. Why? Because he put it in your heart. Come on, y'all. See, and you live by what's in your heart. As a man believes in his heart, that's where you find the man. So is he. You see, God's trying to give you the understanding of the power so that it will come out of your mouth by words and then be executed in your life to bring you to good success. To make your way, he didn't even say it would make your way prosperous if the following conditions are there, that it's not so hard, that it's not so big. He didn't say anything about if. He said, when you meditate day and night, you will be able to find the way out. Good success. I love that. Not just some success. He said good success. Some success might work part-time. Good success works all the time. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Because we know this way, God is good when? All the time. So good success will work all the time.
Some success might just work some of the time. But that's not what he called you to. If you would meditate day and night, then you would observe. That's the way it says it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and following. It says you would observe to do all that is written therein. You will see how to do it. You will move away from the question and the statement of, I don't know how to do it. How can I do it, God? You will move away from that, because if you would meditate day and night, he says, then you would observe to do. You'll see it. Haven't you ever been trying to get some understanding, and then all of a sudden the light bulb went on, and you say, oh, I see what to do. That's what he just said. If you would meditate in the word day and night, you will observe, see how to do it. The mystery would be answered, because the entrance of his word, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. See? He's warning us to participate in this plan. That's why he set it up this way. He doesn't want us to meditate on the frustration, the trouble, the trial. He does not want us to meditate on that. Think on these things that are pure, just, if there be any praise, any virtue. Think on these things and what will happen. And the God of peace will keep your mind. He'll keep your heart. There becomes a transfer. That's what we're talking about today, a transfer of grace. See, when you engage this way, the primary reward of engagement scripturally is that there will be a transfer of grace. Glory to God. Please write that down. When I participate in the plan of God according to the word of God, there will always be a transfer of grace. Whew. I'm telling you, I don't preach myself happy. See? And that's what we're needing, is to have the transfer. When you are deficient in your bank account, and someone comes and says, I'm going to help you out, what they do is they give you a transfer of funds. Is that correct? They give you the power that, God, thank you. They give you the power that they were using to meet every need in their life. That was the finances. And they give you a transfer of those finances. They give you a transfer of that power. Now, what's necessary when you get the transfer is wisdom from on high, so that I can utilize that transfer correctly. Did not Jesus say, all power has been given to me, both in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go. What did he just do? He just transferred, not some power, he just transferred all power. According to that scripture, that's what he did. Okay, and if I was just making it up, then when you see Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he says, wait on the Holy Ghost, and when he has come, he will give you power. First thing out the chute, told him to wait on, as he's transferring from, as he's transferring from the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of his Father. He's going from earth to heaven. And he said, now, y'all need to receive the Holy Ghost, because after the Holy Ghost has come, he shall give you power. That was a transfer right there. But we didn't understand that. We made that a feeling, a goosebump, if you would. He did not say, behold, I give you a goosebump. Amen. He said, I give you power. In other words, he expects you now to utilize that power so that the will of God can be executed by who? By you. Then you will observe to do all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous. You will find good success. See? These are the things that he's stated for you to live in, because you're supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So then I go and I meditate on that which he's already said. See, I don't listen at the lie of the devil. that tells me I can't. Because as soon as he says I can't, then Philippians, the fourth chapter, is now dismantled in front of you. See? I no longer can do things because I don't expect Christ to strengthen me or expect that Christ has strengthened me, that Christ is actively strengthening me. That's the way it's written. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth. That is an ongoing process. I'm glad he didn't say that strengthened me, because that would be a past tense condition, and I'm looking at present tense circumstances. Come on, y'all. Because if it was a strengthened me, that would have had to be yesterday's strength. Now, today's problems sometimes are greater than yesterday's strength. That's why he wants me to go from glory to glory. That's why he said things like, today if you will hear my voice. Because I'm going to give you enough information today to handle every single problem that would come upon you today. Because I love you now, today. And my love that's now, today, will cover every circumstance that can come at you. That's the way our God functions. That's why a now faith is situation has been placed in front of us. I don't care what, the way Paul says it, he says, where he asked the question, what shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation? Persecution, famine, death, peril, sword, nay, in all of these things. He didn't say in one of these things. He said in all of these things. Combine them, multiply them, it doesn't matter. Stack them up huge on one side, doesn't matter. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I mean, we just got to, again, put these things into our spirit, stir them up so that we can recall them by the Holy Ghost. And the word that the Holy Ghost breathes into your life, into your situation, is a word that wins every time, all the time. Psalms chapter 8, verse 1. See, praise is not a secret weapon. It's supposed to be a primary weapon. Okay? It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So please understand this. The excellency of God's name has been spread throughout, not some, all the earth, or every place that the soles of your feet shall tread. Going back to Joshua chapter 1 again. See? So he says, Lord, your name is excellent. It excels everything else. That's why it's excellent. It excels everything else. It says that he has magnified his word above all things. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Whatever your problem is, it has to bow at the name of Jesus. Whatever your situation is, it has to bow at the name of Jesus and say, Jesus is Lord. He led captivity captive. In other words, everything that the devil used in his kingdom, he led that captive. That's why he's Lord of all. Last time I checked, all means all. And that's all it means. There is nothing that has not been made subject to the name. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. That word heavens there is not including the third heaven. It's just the heaven where the enemy of our soul has authority. The lower of the heavens. the stratosphere, if you would. The atmosphere, if you would. Okay? Not the place where God lives. His glory is there. Because he is there. But it says that this name is above every glory that can be seen in the demonic realm. You know, really, I hadn't thought about telling this now. Every lie has to have apparent glory. Otherwise, we wouldn't believe it. We wouldn't go after it. Amen. There has to be an allure there. Is that correct? Every lie has to have something that invites us into it. People that were convinced that drugs and alcohol would help them. The allure of drugs and alcohol caused them to go after the alcohol, to go after the women, to go after the sex. Because when we say the women get mad because they say, no, I'm not hooked up that way. Well, to go after the lust. There had to be an allure, but the name of the Lord is above that. The glory of that moment of pleasure, the glory of God is set above that. And a lot of times what we do is we live beneath the glory that was ours. Come on, y'all. For all have sinned and lived underneath, falling short of the glory. We were accustomed to doing that. But he's telling us that our Lord, who has a name that is above every name, he has a name that excels. With a name that excels, he can get me out of the mire and the muck that I am stuck in right now, can't he? Because he has a name that excels. That's why he says to us, look up, for your redemption draws nigh, or your redemption is excellent in another place. It's excellent in him. Your glory is going to be there. Let's listen at the weapon of praise. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, what comes out of the mouth of babes? Praise. Not complaints. Come on now, let you go to the crib. Go to that place where the baby sleeps and hear how much complaining is going on after the baby has been changed and after the baby has been fed. Find out how much has of complaints are being offered to God. Because he said, out of the mouth of babes, there's something different. Something that was ordained. What was it? Strength. What is strength needed for? To overcome every obstacle. We could say, you could see this, that the baby is prophesying the things that are concerning the life that the baby is going to live. Because praise gives a transfer of grace, a transfer of power. Out of the mouth of babes, you've ordained strength because you got enemies. And you want your word to be able to release the grace that's necessary. Praise does that. That's why I say it's a weapon, but it's not a secret weapon. It is a weapon that should always be used. From the womb to the tomb. There it is. From the mouth of babes. And we overcame by the words of our mouth. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. You've already set this thing in motion. Praise is an ordained strength. It is a strength that is purposed for you to use from your inception. So then I'll ask you, if you are spending more time complaining then the weapon that was ordained for you is not being used. And when you use it, he says that this use of praise would stop, steal the enemy. It will stop the avenger. I mean, you've all heard this. There it is again for you to read, study, and make yours. You should spend a whole lot more time in praise than you do in complaints. Praise causes you to be surrounded by grace. Please look at that. He said, this is an ordained strength so that you can stop or steal the enemy and the avenger. So that means that you will then be completely surrounded by innumerable angels and the power to overcome because praise is being offered up. You remember in 2 Kings when the battle was going on and Elijah and Elisha was on the mountain and Elisha was getting nervous in the service. And Elijah said, son, there be more that be with us than that be with them. And Elisha didn't see nothing. And then Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes. And then when the Lord opened his eyes, he saw flaming chariots all over the mountainside. Not just where the battle was hot, but way up on top of the mountain where the battle ain't even been started yet. You had angels up there, flaming swords, chariots on fire. But he didn't see any of that at first because he had a heart position of fear, frustration, worry. So then when you meditate on the word day and night, you see differently. You will observe to do what's written therein. Praise is a weapon that brings the presence of God into the situation so that we are now assured that he's going to show up on our behalf and bring victory. Praise is always preceded by a promise. It's preceded by a promise made. It's preceded by a promise kept. Praise is always preceded by a promise. God will send a word to you, and he's looking for the appropriate response to that promise that he sent to you. He sends you a prophetic word, and he's looking for the appropriate promise for that prophetic word. And the appropriate promise is looking for the praise. Why? Because praise is the place of the transfer of grace. Amen. I mean, just kind of make sure you see that praise is the place where the grace can now be transferred. See, he ordained this strength. It's reserved for you. It's not a promise you have to beg for. It's yours. But he's waiting for the position of heart and the release of the understanding that as I praise, God is going to stop the enemy. Stop the avenger. Okay? And then I've made a statement here that says the reason that praise and the promises are connected is because without a promise, you don't have a prayer. I just tell that to my daughter all the time. Your prayer should be a compilation of the promises of God, a gathering of the promises of God. I don't pray because I'm in need, but I don't have a promise. If I find myself in need, I find the promise that answers the need, and then I develop a prayer out of that praise. Okay? This is the way it goes. Because when God hears that, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he's ordained strength, and then he's going to move. He's going to steal the enemy. He's going to stop the avenger. See? Now, every time, all the time. And if we would learn to do that, to put our hearts in that position that we're just going to, he said, open your mouth and he'll fill it with praise. Open your mouth. See? Learn to depend on him, that your prayer comes from him, comes from his word, comes by his spirit. Your prayer comes as an answer. Okay, come on. Okay. Your prayer comes as an answer to praise. Oh, we need to write that one down. Your prayer comes to you as an answer to praise, so that then you will release the prayer of faith now that came to you as an answer to praise. Did you see that? The strength is ordained because of the enemy. And when your mouth moves like a babe's mouth that offers praise continually, isn't that what it said? His praise shall be continually on my lips. Why? Because as those lips are filled with faith, filled with praise, then God is going to send you a prayer that you can now utter. Delight yourself. Let's look at it from the right perspective here. Delight yourself also in the Lord, Psalms 37. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It didn't say he will answer the desires of your heart. He said he will give them to you. See, you don't know what to say. But because you delight in him, he gives you what to say. Your prayer should come because of praise. It is an answer to the praise. Now you pray, decree, declare, and now that which you declare can be done because he said he will give you the desires of your heart. The process starts with him, ends with him. It's done because of him. It's not done because you're tired of going through what you're going through. That's not the way we should approach the prayer that God wants us to utter. It should be because we've already heard a promise. See, your praise, come on, it's connected to the promise. See? Praise is always preceded by a promise. What you have received from God then becomes a praise. And now the prayer can be uttered. And because I delight myself, okay, let's try that. Praise should come because delight is present. Is that correct? I like what you're doing, God. That's a praise. So when I delight myself in the Lord, my mouth now can be filled with praise. My prayer comes out of, is a response of the praise of what he's done. It's not just me begging God, trying to hope God's going to do something. Where would be the question, where is your praise? Did he not fill a mouth with praise? Out of the mouth of babes. Not out of the necessity of babes, out of the mouth of babes. See, and except your righteousness exceeds that of the child. So he's asking us to grow up. I'll go further. He's requiring of us to grow up so that we can stop being motivated from a negative position. And this is the confidence that we have in him. See? So then where is the evidence of your confidence? Oh, woe is me prayers. When you use those prayers, that tells me that there has been no transfer of grace. It didn't say delight yourself in the Lord and then you can demand of him. It says if you delight yourself, the exchange is he will give you desires. He will initiate desires. I mean, according to Romans, there are prayers that we don't know how to pray or even to offer them up willingly. That's what he does. He helps us when he helps our infirmity, when we don't know how to pray. See? So then now my praise becomes, Father, I thank you that you have filled me with your spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues that I don't even know what to say or how to say it. But because I have now the unction of the Holy Spirit, he will make prayers for me. Okay, just kind of look at that, put a pin in that. If the Holy Ghost is making intercession for me because I don't know how to pray, then it would be like incumbent upon me to receive this gift so that I can enter into this praise. See? So then I would be able to utilize this all day, every day. And as I do that, according to what has already been written in John chapter 14, then he says that he will lead me into the truth. Come on. Why would the Holy Ghost lead me into the truth if it was going to be left up to my ability to discern what I need to say and how I'm going to say it? Why would he need to then lead me into it? Why would he need to bring to my remembrance what Jesus has said? Why would he need to show me things to come? See, that's the fivefold ministry, if you would, of the Holy Spirit. Bring things to your remembrance what Jesus said, teach you all things, show you things to come, give you power, and lead you into, take you into the truth. That would be the fivefold ministry of the Holy Spirit. So then if that's what he's going to do, why am I trying to do that in my natural understanding? Okay? He's already got a better way, a better plan. And then when I begin to participate in that and I begin to do it over and over and over and over, it becomes the staple of my life, if you would. That's why you hear things about Jesus a great while before it was daylight, he was praying. Wait a minute, he was already perfect, so he was not praying for perfection to be accomplished. You see what I'm saying? We have the habit of sometimes waiting till things get so bad that now it's come to prayer. See? But Jesus was praying because if the Holy Ghost is going to lead you, show you things to come, lead you into truth, then I need to receive truth so that I can, come on now, if I don't receive truth, can I be led into something I don't have? Amen. Okay. I'm not sensitive to God in that area, so I'm not thinking about trying to do this, that, or the other. But when the Holy Ghost is come, he's going to lead me into, he's going to bring back to my remembrance what Jesus said. That's interesting, Father. He didn't say why Jesus said it. He said what Jesus said. Did you catch that? See, if I think that, well, he told me to say this when I'm depressed. I get that. I understand that. But he wants you to lead you into it, not because of it. See? We are accustomed to making demands of God instead of releasing the praise that he already put in our heart. And then that praise will open up the prayer God wants to give us so that now when I say that, I will decree and declare a thing and it shall be established unto me. These are, if you would, these are weapons and instruments that you can use. The devil doesn't even know how or what you're doing. Because when you pray in, the Bible says, when you pray in tongues, mysteries are being spoken. It didn't just say mysteries for us. It said mysteries. Amen. Devil don't know what's going on. You are preparing your heart to receive, oh, glory to God. You are preparing your heart to receive the great things that God wants to do because he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, but it is according to the power that works in you. See, if the power ain't work, it's not at work in you, how can he do exceedingly abundant? He's the one that said that this is the way it works. Now unto him, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that works in you. See, praise releases the, transfers the grace that's already present and ordained for your strength. Now, I'm hoping that you're getting this, beloved. See, again, these are not just things that I'm kind of just lining up because they sounded good. This is what causes us to be able to find life and enjoy life. See? Because he's wanting these things to be so much part alive and so much a part of our everyday existence that we don't have to even worry about what the devil's doing. Amen. Amen. I won't worry about what the devil's doing. One reason, because the Holy Ghost will show me things to come. So then, the Holy Ghost's job is to show me things to come. So then there's nothing that the devil can bring in my life that the Holy Ghost has not already shown me the things that are to come. I am well informed because the Holy Ghost shows me the things that are to come. No more surprises, huh? I might not know dates, times, seasons, but I'll have an expectancy for this. Gird up your loins, Stevie. Tomorrow's going to be a day of challenge. Okay, God, that's right. I don't care what the challenge is. I have my loins girded up. See? I'm ready for that. I'm not caught off guard and then get mad because this or that happened. He told me to gird up my loins. Put your helmet on straight. Wow. Why would I need to put my helmet on straight? Because my salvation is guaranteed and already worked out. So then from that perspective, since I've already exited the kingdom of darkness and I've entered into the kingdom of light, now I need to walk as a child of light. I have my helmet of salvation on correctly. I'm not thinking God done left me. That's not having my helmet on correctly, is it? See? I'm thinking that I can't handle this. Well, I've already told you this was coming. So since I know that God is faithful and who will not suffer me to be tempted above that which I am able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that I might be able to bear it, I already know that. So then this did not come to affect my salvation, did it? It just came as a test of faith. Who am I going to believe? Whose report am I going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. And the report of the Lord came before the trial. That's why he says stuff like, he will have no other gods before him. Holy Ghost is going to show me things to come. So I'm not going to be caught off guard. I'm not going to be moved, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I'm going to be steadfast, settled, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And one of the works of the Lord right here is that the Holy Ghost is going to show me things to come. Everything in the Spirit, in the kingdom of God, in the earth is maintained by a promise. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. We know it, but it's just going again. Everything is held up by a promise. Hebrews chapter 1. verse 1 and following. It says, God, who at sundry of various times and in divers manners spake in times past unto us by the fathers, spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, circle that please, in these last days. How many days is that? These. So it doesn't matter. He's speaking to us in these last days, spoken to us by his son. So in these last days, he's still speaking, is he not? And he's speaking by his word. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh, right? Right. So in these days, he speaks to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. So is not a promise the word of his power? Yeah. See? How many things? He's upholding all things. So then, as I know that, then the manifestation of this trial is being upheld by the word of his power. That being stated, it can also be dismantled by the word of his power, because he's going to uphold what I am brought to into remembrance by the Holy Spirit, and then I say what Jesus said. Is that not correct? I mean, I'm just trying to make sure I'm not missing something here. You remember Job and what happened in him, and he kept going to God and saying, have you considered? What about Job? You got Job protected, and God said, he's in your hands, just don't kill him. Where did the devil get permission? Why did he get permission? Because he already said about Job, he's the perfect man and the upright man. I'm not worried about Job. Job know what to do. Huh? That was a vote of confidence. Because God asked him, have you considered my servant Job? There's no evil in him. Okay? Those things were said as an example for us so that we can see, oh, wait a minute. God didn't make the boy go through it. He said he's not going to give up. He doesn't sin with his mouth. Emotions got involved. His fear was activated because he said, all them things that I don't know of, the fear of the things that I don't know, they coming up on me. I don't know that my children might have sinned, and his fear became evident, but his heart remained unto God. Because it says he went through all that stuff, and yet he did not sin or charge God foolishly with his mouth. See? So then the question becomes, when we go through stuff, do we sin and or charge God foolishly with our mouths? Because if you hold on to your integrity, then you will have sevenfold coming back to you. Amen. That's what Job got. He got seven times what he lost because he didn't charge God foolishly with his mouth. See? He said stuff like, tell you what, if he killed me, I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to do what, Joe? Because praise is the transfer of the grace. Says that he's upholding all things by the word of his power. In chapter 10 of this same book, Hebrews,
we'll see some other things about how this transfer is supposed to take place. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, I'll finish this statement so you can see how I got there. It says, he's upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Okay, now, so let's find out what else is happening when Jesus sat down. Verse 12 and 13 of chapter 10. But this man, after he had offered once sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. So while he is seated, if you would, it says that he's expecting something to happen. Why? Because he left us a transfer of grace, a transfer of power. And with that power, we're supposed to cause the enemies of God to be made our footstool. Is that correct? Did you see that connection? Because Jesus is upholding all things by the word of his power. And when he sat down at the right hand of majesty, he's now having an expectation because that power was given unto us. So we see Jesus sitting in a promise, expecting, and he's empowering the word of the promise to be fulfilled. Because Mark chapter 16, verse 20 says this, that he confirms his word with signs following. So if he said it, he's going to back it up. That's why he's expecting his enemies would be made his footstool. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you've ordained strength because of your enemies, that you might steal the enemy and the avenger. He's expecting us to do that. You see? He's upholding the promise with prayer, praise. He's doing it in prayer because it says that he ever liveth to make intercessions for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Okay? Let's look at it again. Just put them together. Let them support one another. But this man, because, talking about Jesus, because he continueth forever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. I'm going to show you something about the priesthood here in just a second. This man, Jesus, because he continues forever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, because of this unchangeable priesthood, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercessions for those that have come to God. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, made higher than the heaven, who needeth not daily as those priests to offer up sacrifices for his own sins first, and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered himself. So it says that this is a high priest. Okay? Jesus has an unchangeable priesthood. And this high priestly position causes him to be able to do what the high priest did. And that was to give praise and offering to the Lord. So let's look at 2 Chronicles 31, verse 2. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 2. Okay, it says, and Hezekiah
appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and the Levites, for a couple of things, for burnt offerings, for peace offerings, to minister, and to give thanks, and to give praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. So the high priest was responsible to give praise and thanks. Is that correct? See? So we see Jesus ever living to make intercession. We see him praying for us. But he's going to give praise, a praise offering unto the Lord. Now, again, he's not doing that because he needs it. He's doing that for us. Is that correct? As the high priest, they offered for the people. So as our high priest, he's offering for us. And what is he offering? Praise. In case you forget to do it, your high priest is doing it on your behalf so that the connection that you need to receive this transfer is in place. That's why he told you to ask in the name of Jesus, because he's doing this for you. Did you catch that? See? So when you ask in the name of the one that's offering for you because of that connection of intercession and the offering of praise, you can receive what God intended for you to receive. Did you track that? Okay. So we receive prayer and praise from our high priest. He said he's able to save to the uttermost, so we receive salvation from our high priest. And we come to God because of him, so we have access because of our high priest. And then he has given us eternal intercession. He ever liveth to make, ever liveth to make intercession. That means that the intercession that he's given on my behalf is active because he ever liveth. It didn't say he ever lived. He ever liveth to make intercession. This is what happened from my high priest. I get prayer and praise. I get salvation to the uttermost, access to God, and eternal salvation. So then, since that's what he has done and is doing, that would be, if you would, that would make me think that partake of the fullness that he's offering. So then, with that being in my mind, I go to the book of John, chapter 1. And we'll start at verse 12. And he says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were not born of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but they were born of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Again, look at how he's doing it. So to as many as received him, this is how the Word is going to become tangible. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons. Did it say, to many as received him, he made them sons? No, he gave them the power to become sons. If I don't use the things that were offered, then I will not activate the power and I will not be a son. To them that believed on his name, he gave them the power to become. Not the ones that are born of the blood, just because you're in the family.
nor of the will of the flesh, just because you want to, nor of the will of man, because they think you deserve it. But they were born of God. And then he says, now, the way this process works is the word has to become flesh, tangible. And then it has to abide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will and it'll be given you. It dwelt among us. And as the word dwells among us, we should stop looking at frustration. We should stop looking at hurt, harm, or injury. We should behold glory. Amen. Look at it the same way Jesus looked at it, the only begotten of the Father. And he was full of grace and truth. He was full of it. There was not room for anything else. He was full of grace and truth. And that's why he said when he left that I give you power. Again, when I first came here, I told you there was going to be some power to become the sons of God. When I'm leaving here, I'm going to take my grace and my truth, and I'm going to give you the power to receive grace and truth. And I need for you to partake of the fullness of that. Keep on reading. John bare witness of him, and he cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, that he that cometh after me is preferred before me, and he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received grace for grace. Wait a minute, y'all. I just want to go back and look at something here, because you need to know how you're reading, what you're reading. He said, and of his fullness have all we received grace for grace. This was prophetic. I never looked at that before. It was just a nice scripture. But he said, this we've all received, past tense, is that correct? Jesus hadn't died yet. In John chapter 1, Jesus was just getting here, wasn't he? Yeah. But he said, we've all received grace for grace. So this was a prophetic word. John was the one bearing witness of what he saw in the spirit. And he said, we've all received. So then his fullness was offered in Matthew chapter 28 when he said, all power has been given unto me, therefore you go. Take this power, use it. Receive this truth, walk in the grace. See? So then we can see that we, from our high priest, we receive prayer, praise, salvation to the uttermost, access to God, eternal salvation, power to become sons, and we receive grace and truth. This is the word of his power. See, God put his power in his word so that we can then go to that word and receive the transfer of grace. We can allow the praise to be transferred with our lips. Or we can receive the praise and the transfer of praise with our lives. And a lot of people in Jesus' day, he told them, he said, no, you worship with your lips, but you need to worship with your lives, with your heart. See? So he's inviting us to a life that produces power because we access grace. We access truth. If we only with our lips transfer the place, enjoy the place of praise and transfer the grace, then only those that are in a captive audience around us, invitation and association,
friends and people that we try to impress. They're the only ones that's going to see that we say we praise God. But if I live with my life and use that as the place of transfer, then men will see my good works and they will glorify God. He told us to go into all the world. I don't know why we think that if we fellowship with the same 15 people all the time that God is being glorified. It said men would see your good works and glorify. It didn't say friends would see it. Amen. See, if we're going to allow the place of transfer to be our life, then we become a living sacrifice. See, not a vocal sacrifice. If we're going to live in his promise, we're also going to have to live in his praise, which means that there's no necessity. Okay, we'll do it this way. There will be no necessity for cussing and fussing then if I'm going to live in his praise. If I live in his praise, I just removed myself from confusion, didn't I? Because his praise stops the enemy, steals the avenger. See? So this is not one of those things that we just, you know, speak about it but don't do it. The Bible tells us when we hear the word and then if we don't do it, we are set up for deception. We deceive our own heart. I said last time that when it's personal, and you can write this one down if you didn't, when it's personal, it's possible. When it's impersonal, it's impossible. If I don't know my God, they that know their God, they will be strong. They will do exploits because it's personal. When it's personal, it can then be possible. But if it's impersonal, well, they see it. Jesus asked him about that. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, they say Elijah or one of the prophets. And he said, well, who do you say I am? And Peter said, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you're blessed for this, Peter. And I'm going to build upon that revelation, Peter. And as I build on that revelation, then the gates of hell will not prevail, Peter. And whatever you bind is bound, and whatever you loose is loose. Because I've given you the ability to have a transfer of this grace and of his grace and of his truth. We've all received grace for grace. Okay? We come to the place where we can see that our release of this praise not only causes God to smile, but then it aligns us with the truth of we have delighted ourselves in him. And then he's able to then give us the things necessary for life. He didn't give us what was necessary, thank you, sir. He didn't just give us what was necessary for enjoyment, for pleasure. He gave us the things that were necessary for life. See, there's an exchange that should be happening, a transfer of grace. And since it's a transfer, that would help me understand that it is something added to my account, not something because I have an account or on my account. It was added to my account. It was not anything that came out of what I deserved. It came out of what he wanted to give. See? So that takes me off the hook of trying to work it up. Actually, it's not necessary for me to work it up. It's just required of me to walk it out. Amen. I take what he has said, the promise, because without a promise, I don't have a prayer. So I take the promise, and then I allow him to give me the prayer, whatever the desire is. I allow him to give it to me so that I can voice it in a manner that will cause him to say, yes, it's already done. See? It creates an expectancy in the spirit. See, because I'm living in his praise so that I can activate his promise. If I'm not living in the praise, there is no transfer of the grace. Not because he doesn't want to, but because I didn't go after it accurately. I didn't fulfill all righteousness, John said. See? I am fulfilling my righteousness, but Jesus said the thing that is necessary is to fulfill all righteousness. See, grace leads us, follows us, surrounds us, and empowers us. It supports us as we go from place to place. Where grace is supposed to be there to make things easy, sweet, and without sweat. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 15, says, I am what I am by the grace of God. So he was one that understood that we are just reservoirs of his grace, where grace can flow through us, not to be stopped up by us. It was it becomes a free-flowing funnel. Okay? That grace gets the thing done, not me getting it done. Sweat does not get it done. Because he says, when I come unto him, I will find rest unto my souls. It'll be easy and the burden will be light. So then we have to get to the place of understanding that I'm not trying to make this happen. I'm going to allow it to flow. I'm a reservoir of his grace because I understand that praise, as the song says, is what I do. See? I live there. Because I live there, he said, I'm delighting myself in him, and then he can give me the desires of my heart. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you to show you his loving kindness, to show you his grace and his truth, to equip you so that you would be overflowing with victory, in season, even out of season, because you live in his praise. You live in his promise. His faith then works and causes pleasure to him, because without faith it is impossible to please God. Your way? Or God's way? Are you going to live in the praise and transfer the grace, or continue to function in frustration, anxieties, and fear? Father, we just thank you for the word that you sent to us that would cause us to be able to hear truths that would transform them. We can be transferred, Father God, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. That we would change from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for showing us your love that draws us into this place, that praise is what we do. We do not allow ourselves to get trapped, pulled out of your splendor and your glory, but we will learn how to live in that glory, how to live in that praise, even in the midst of trials, circumstances, and situations, because you've already sent a word to heal us and to deliver us, and you ever live to make the intercession necessary so that we will grow up in you in all things. We give you the glory for that, sir. We give you the praise and the honor. Committing it to you is done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, glory to God.
Glory to God. Well, again, as I said at the beginning, do you have any comments or questions about the ministry? We'll give you an opportunity to share those now. So area code 404-490-7875. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry? 404-490-7875. You have the mic.
So my understanding is if I don't have no praise, I have no prayer. So I should pray to have praise. That's correct, right?
You should, okay, the way that it was stated to me is that, yes, without a praise, you don't have a prayer. Without a praise, okay, you don't have a promise. Without a promise, you don't have a prayer. That's the way it was said.
All right.
So then what we should do, instead of us trying to make up our own prayer, just allow praise to lead us into the prayer that God would give us, because he's going to, the response to praise is a prayer from God, okay? The response to my praise is a prayer from God. He will give me things to say that will help me navigate out of whatever I'm facing. But a praise transfers that grace, brings that prayer. So now that I can pray that prayer because praise was active, then it's easy. I delight myself in the Lord. He gives me the desires of my heart.
I understand.
So we praise to receive from God a prophetic prayer. Then I pray that prayer, declare that prayer, and then the answer to that prayer is already on the way because he gives me the desires of my heart.
Of my heart. I understand.
So, amen.
I understand.
That's just it's fresh. That's what I heard. That's what I said.
I got you.
Because we try to manipulate God. We don't have to.
I understand that now.
His love covers us.
Okay, I got you.
Okay. So, that's Psalms 34:7 is where that's based, okay? Because if I don't have a prayer, I don't have a promise. If I don't have a promise, I don't have a prayer.
Right.
If I don't have a praise, I'm not going to get a promise.
I'm not going to get no promise.
Okay.
Got you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
amen.
You.
All right. Amen. Amen. And here we have area code 678-469-7930. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? 678-469-7930. You have the mic. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Okay. So, again, everyone else has dropped off. And I would to God, just keep praying with me that we will understand that the questions and comments are not to, well, first of all, unless people just know your number off the top of the, you know, from the bottom of their heart, then they don't know who it is. But I do that so that people can grow, because we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So when you give an opportunity, when you've given an opportunity to just say what you got out of the ministry tonight, or if there's any questions, it's easy to answer them, because the way that this is set up, we do not go to heaven one at a time. We all go together. So if you have questions that is stopping the every joint supplying, then I can't go either. So then it's my job to give you information, the perfecting of the saints, to give you information so that we can all get out of here together. Because I'm looking around, and this is not a good thing, but it's our job to go to all the world and teach and baptize and make disciples. See, that's our job. So then if teaching is done effectively, questions are answered. Amen. So that's why I give the opportunity here. And a lot of times people have been taught, trained, raised in that if you're asking questions, you must be the stupid one. No, that's the smartest thing you can do. If you don't know, ask. Amen. We have no issue with that.
Jesus didn't get mad because the disciples had. In fact, the book of James says, if you have any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to every man liberally and does not get mad because you ask. So that's this. We've been looking at it backwards. And again, so we operate ineffectively because we don't have the truth and the grace that we need to win. So when it comes time to ask a question or to make a comment to make sure that you understand, it is my pleasure to give that to you. It's not grievous for me to say the same thing over to you again. That's not a problem here. That's not the way we go. Amen. So, again, I'd like to thank you for being a part of the broadcast tonight. And if the Lord lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, then please go to the website and find the donate tab, and you can give an offering there. Because we can only stay on the air by the offerings of the free will, offerings of the people that are blessed by the programs that are obedient to God, because God says that as you give, it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men will give to your bosom. That because you are a cheerful giver, God is not willing to do without that cheerful giver, and he is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you will always, in all circumstances, have more than enough. You'll be able to give to every good work and charitable donation. So God wants to be able to do that through you because he sees the willing heart that he has stirred up by his word, so that you would then be able to give and receive by his spirit. So until the next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Until we get together next week, God's best to you.